KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open 884-9910. If you have a specific question that you would like to ask my guest, Joey Walker, the owner of DisarmandDisable.com, dedicated to providing real-world information on how to defend against threats from active shooters and anybody, actually, because you teach some awesome self-defense courses, which I need to start taking.
Okay, we'll do a class specifically for you.
I would like you to do a class specifically for me and my listeners. We'll put something together and we'll give away spots on the air and have a thing, because even my husband says now, he goes, I'm waiting for someone to follow you home, because he watches and he waits for me to get home and he's like, oh, no one's gonna pick on me, and he's like, honey, you got a big mouth and or. Irking people off. But if you have a question specific to Joey, please, 884-9910. Joey, we were just talking about, everything, and real-world situations. Because of this little thing right here that fits in your pocket, in your hand, in your purse, whatever, are we living in a bubble because of the technology around us and just in our own little worlds, too much?
You know, I mentioned the term unplugged because I think a lot of times we end up so much with so much technology and so many distractions that we're looking at those distractions. And before we got the cell phones and the iPods and the iPads, we had books and newspapers and everything else and magazines that we're reading. So when we're in public, you got to remember, while you are in public, you are in public and you're in the public view, and anybody can do anything in public. You can unplug when you get home, in the safety of your home or someone else's home, where you feel very comfortable and you don't have to worry about your personal safety as much. But when you are out in the public view, where John Q., Jane Q., citizen can walk up to you and stab you in the neck with a hypodermic needle, that happened in New York, those types of things, you got to pay attention to your surroundings and keeping yourself, your personal bubble, so to speak, so that you know that you can protect yourself. And you don't let those people inside your bubble unless you specifically allow them inside. Anyone steps inside that, you know, then they kind of let you know what's going on.
Well, I mean, people talk a lot about, well, why do we need guns? Why do we need guns? You know what? It's not the gun. It's the person behind it.
Exactly.
Because you can, we just had two stabbings here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hypodermic needle that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have cars.
Rocks.
You know? How many people have used other objects to attain what they want to attain, and that is to hurt as many people as possible?
Infamy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do we stop making these people famous? Is that really what they're looking for, infamy?
A lot of them are. Let me rephrase that. Some of them are. Some of them want to kill, this guy did 10, I want to do 20. This guy killed 50, I want to kill 70. So you have some of that going on. You have some of that, well, this person's a male, I'm going to be the first female who does this.
Again, we go back to spectacle and not pure thought of what is going on here.
Right.
Because you can say, I pulled up an article the other day that some group is saying that it's all mental health, that these people are just, you know, they're whacked in the head. They've been like this from the beginning. There's another group saying that, no, it's the psychotropic drugs that it seems like half of the country is on. And we're spouting all these statistics about Zoloft and Xanax and, you know, all these other medications out there. How do we have a real conversation about society and stop pointing at the guns themselves?
You're taking those multiple choice tests where it's A, B, C, D, none of the above, or E, all the above. It's E, all the above. It's every aspect that you can think of. I had a chance before I became a police officer to work in mental health. And I worked for Lakes Crossings as well as Nevada Mental Health Institute. And I can tell you that I saw some crazy people that were there that had been there and were there for homicide, either killing their parents or killing one other individual. Those people were absolutely off. The cheese has slipped off the crackers, as people would say.
Right.
But then there are some people who are crazy, but they're crazy like a fox. you can't be that totally out of it where you don't, where you walk into a gun store, purchase a weapon, because they're going to be able to look at this individual, make an assessment.
The guy that purchased his weapon in Nevada at the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
Yep. So he's got to be somewhat sane at the time, but is it always mental health to say, well, it's this or it's that? It's all the above. I heard of a concept just yesterday. I think it's called IC, where it's involuntary celibacy, where basically this person's incapable of having a relationship. And I have to thank, you know, the Fox News people. I saw Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson last night. And I can tell you that from the things and the guests that they had on their show last night, what an education. So the involuntary
celibacy.
You're
killing me. The one night I wasn't able to watch.
But what they talked about is this individual, let's say Santa Barbara, the shooter in Santa Barbara, who could not get a girlfriend. Therefore, he hated all women. So let's just kill people who are having successful relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a target, but then you have secondary targets who are the guys who just happen to be in the right or wrong place at the wrong time. So those are victims as well.
Where should we start teaching? And how do we start teaching things that you talk about to the younger generation? I mean, because we don't want to scare kids.
Right.
We don't want to make them feel unsafe.
Right.
But you actually had an incident with the Washoe County School District that I am extremely disappointed in. And this just shows how society is going with this whole, I'll let you tell the story.
Touchy-feely.
Yeah.
Arrogance, I would say, would be a huge part of what I experienced. So I'll try not to use names. And I'll tell you that it's a small town. And people have big memories. And unfortunately, if you are making someone upset, they figure out a way to block your continued success. But I will tell you this. I've seen in preschools where they play a game called Bunny in the Hole, where they actually teach young children to go and hide inside a classroom. Okay, and they count it down. Bunny in the Hole, 10 seconds, 9 seconds. And all these kids disappear. And that's the start of an active shooter drill for those little kids, to go and hide in those places, because those little kids are incapable of defending themselves in an active shooter situation.
Mm-hmm.
However, their teachers and their educators, their staff, need to learn how to ambush the shooter and to disable the shooter, which means you're going to take the shooter on when he or she enters that facility, enters that classroom, how to disarm this person, and then how to take their weapon from them. And if they have to use it against them, they can. So with the Washoe County School District, I did a presentation for them, and I was shocked. They've known in advance of my presentation. When I walked in the door, the person I was doing the demonstration presentation for said, you've got 20 minutes. So I don't care how important your thing is, you've got 20 minutes to get it on. They know who I am. They know of my background, and I brought in a plastic, it's called a red gun. It's a piece of hard plastic in the mold shape of a gun.
Yeah, and it's a training tool.
Yeah.
I've seen you've brought those to me before.
Yes. And so I said, by the way, here's my book. Take a look at my book, Shots Fired. Why don't you peruse through that while I set up my presentation on the computer? I gave that person my book. They set it down on the table. They put their stuff on top of it. She pulls out her phone and then starts texting or emailing, whatever she's doing. But she wasn't paying attention. So then I get to the presentation part, and I said, by the way, I brought in a prop. This is not a real gun. And she looks at me and says, you shouldn't have brought that in here. This is a school district. You brought in a gun. Lady, it's not a real weapon. It's a piece of plastic. It's a symbol for what this could be, and I need this in the presentation. So I go on with the presentation, and I say, there's three questions I have. In the 1950s, kids hid underneath their school desk for what threat?
Nuclear bomb.
Exactly. She wouldn't answer. Second question, in the 1980s, kids hid underneath their desk from what natural man-made threat?
Earthquake.
Exactly. She wouldn't answer, but told me, go on. And then the third question, I said, in these days, this was 2018, kids are hiding underneath their desk for what threat? She wouldn't say anything. And I said, active shooter. I said, define insanity. It's the doing the same thing and expecting a different
outcome.
Exactly. She wouldn't say anything. So I'd go on with the presentation. I set up the scenario. Little Johnny and little Jane are in the fifth grade, and they've been dating for a couple months. Little Janie broke up with little Johnny yesterday. So Johnny shows up the next day with a gun in his lunch bag as you, the teacher, are walking through the rows in the lunchroom. And guess what? Little Johnny takes his gun out, and you hear this loud boom behind you because Johnny has now shot Janie in the head. Well, turning around and trying to run because you're 2 feet from Johnny is not the option. Hiding underneath the lunch table is not the option. So let me show you how easy it is to do a gun disarm. Then I pick up my red gun, and I said, if you just hold this, and she put her both hands up and says, I can't touch that. I don't feel comfortable touching that.
A piece of plastic. Something that doesn't even hold bullets.
Yes, exactly. And so when I finished my presentation, I said, what are your thoughts? And she says, you know, I'm really surprised how unprepared you were coming into this presentation.
What?
Yeah. So I said, you know, after a few back and forth, I finally said, you know, unfortunately, I feel like I've wasted your time and now you're wasting my time. So I picked up my book, put my laptop in my bag, and walked out the door. And she said, you're walking out and taking your book? Yeah, if you want this on Amazon.com. But you know what? I can tell that right now you're not interested and you're wasting my time. Bye. And I walked out the door, never to hear from her again. And a buddy of mine who ran into her within the next 2 weeks of that said, oh, by the way, how'd the presentation go? She said, oh, fine. And she alone at that time was in charge of the safety of the Washoe County School District active shooter issues.
It's interesting because I had a call from a gentleman who used to work with the safety procedures of the school district. This was a few years ago, and he decided not to participate in it anymore because they had something like $40 million in the budget to prepare plans and keep kids safe, and nobody could figure out how it was spent. And when he approached people about it, he was on the advisory task force to do this. And they couldn't show how it was spent. It's in the budget. Well, when you look at the school district's budget, you know, because that's what they're always pushing. Look at the budget. These things aren't line itemed out. All of this stuff is just hidden in these budgets. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when I go to pick up my little at school, I pick her up once a week at school, and we talk about safety. I don't understand why more parents aren't involved, because it's just stupid. This is really disappointing, Joey.
I know, and there's nothing that I can do. I've talked to everyone until I'm almost blue in the face, and I've resigned myself to say, you know, the only thing I'm going to do now is just make people even angrier. How dare you, Joey Walker, bring this subject up? Who are you? Then they attack me rather than, hey, I'm trying to give you an opportunity to learn how to save children's and adults' lives. I'm not suggesting that when the shooter comes into the hallway and starts shooting that you leave your kids in your classroom and go exit the classroom, look up and down the hallways, find the shooter and take him on. I'm saying stay in your locations if they're safe. And if the shooter comes in there, guess what they have in every elementary school? There's a paper cutter. Learn how to take that blade off the paper cutter. Now you have a weapon, so if the shooter enters, you've got that. If you don't want to, you think that's too bloody, go out and
get a rock.
Get a rock. Paint that rock that's about the same size of your hand or half of a brick. Paint a nice color. Put a nice saying on it. That's your paperweight to hold your papers down when the kids bring up papers. And if there's an active shooter that enters your school, pick up that rock. Set yourself up on the side of the door where the doorknob is closest. Because once that door opens up, then you can reach inside and grab that shooter's gun. He's going to be walking either head first or a weapon first. And if he walks in with his head sticking up there first, bang, right upside the forehead with that rock or paper cutter across the neck. If he comes in with gun first, come down that hand with the paper cutter. There's a short – now you don't have an arm because you've just chopped it off. Or the fact that you're going to hurt this person. You're going to disarm this person. But again, you're not leaving the confines of your classroom. If you're in a lunch facility, what should you do? If you're outside with your children on the playground, you know what? Leave the facility. Leave the grounds. Go the opposite direction where the shooter is and run in a zigzag formation. Teach kids how to do that.
And now the school grounds are all locked down. All the gates are locked. So how do you escape?
Teachers should have the keys. And those keys, the locks, the padlocks should be all keyed the same for every teacher. You have your lock. If you're out on the playground, you have a lock. You access that at recess time, at lunchtime. Those gates should be unlocked. fire drills, those gates should be unlocked. Every time there's a fire drill or a fire alarm specifically, right. you should have police as well as local fire department responding. The police are there just in case there is a shooter. Because Jonesboro, Arkansas, they pulled the fire alarm, the kids ran out, they shot the kids in the playground.
KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk. This is where you hear it, live and local. If you want to ask Joey a question, 884-9910. But we're going to get back to the hard stuff here in just a minute. Why? Because you need to know. Because other people aren't doing what they need to do to protect you and your kids. So we're going to help you do it. It's KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada, 10 to noon every single weekday, right here on 99.1 FM Talk and also being heard on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. So let's keep talking to Joey Walker, owner of DisarmAndDisable.com. And I love our conversations just as much as the conversations on air that we have, but off air, Joey. And you just, we were talking about the Washoe County School District and, you know, how I feel about that. And it's just another one of those things where we use numbers to manipulate people's minds, okay? We all know there's a problem with the Washoe County School District, but people will start throwing these numbers at, oh, we're number two here and we're number four here and we're, you know what? Numbers are used to manipulate and placate people that when there are serious issues, those issues aren't looked at anymore. And you just ran into a similar situation with somebody spouting off FBI numbers that this country is so safe.
Yes. And it was shocking to me.
If we're so safe, why do people want to disarm and abolish the Second Amendment?
Because they just want control. And where is that going from that perspective, from that political perspective? I have no idea. But I do know that if we get rid of all the guns, then trust me, criminals will find a way to get a gun. And then how do we disarm? How
we have 3D printers. You can print your own gun.
They're just going to steal guns. So
they're going to bring in guns from other country.
And you know, last I looked, homicide is against the law. So what is having a gun? What is stealing a gun for those guys?
When you disarm law-abiding citizens, mm-hmm. I mean, not only is it just that whole tyrannical government thing with the Second Amendment, but when you disarm good law-abiding citizens, the only people that have guns are criminals.
Yep. So they talked about, and Sean Hannity brought it up last night, and talked about having almost a reserve police force, so to speak. But you'd reach out to retired law enforcement, mm-hmm. and trust me, there's hundreds if not thousands of retired law enforcement guys sitting around their communities going, I wish there was something I can do, but we really haven't employed them the way we should. We talked about retired military, bringing those guys in and having those guys train up. And what could they do for compensation? Guess what? We could say, you know what, reduce your taxes. And in turn, you're going to provide X amount of hours of service to stand guard at schools, at special events, and to supplement your police departments, your local police departments. But you know,
but Joey, we have restaurants now that ask cops to leave because they're armed.
Yep.
And it makes the snowflakes nervous, and it makes those other people uncomfortable. I refuse to go into Steak and Shake because firearms are not welcome for anybody.
Well, and in those types of business, that just recruits, in my mind, the active shooter to that location because they know there's no armed challenge.
Speaking of armed challenge, I have to ask you now that, and I don't want to get off the subject because I want to teach people how to protect themselves, but how do you feel about law enforcement being so disrespected? Everybody talks about, oh, well, they were having water thrown on them. It's water. That one officer was obviously hit in the head by a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And was not allowed to do anything.
Sending just a couple of officers into a riotous situation with numerous individuals throwing substances is a very dangerous situation. If you look at our penal institutions and you have correctional officers going down specific areas inside that penal institution. Mm-hmm. They're having feces, urine thrown at them. And what's the next step if they decide, you know what, these cops didn't do anything with water thrown at them, so let's put urine, let's put other contaminated substances, let's use acid. Mm-hmm. So that's a horrible situation.
Well,
and all those individuals should be arrested.
That milkshake that was thrown at that reporter mm-hmm, had mm-hmm. you know, quick drying cement. It was caustic. It, mm-hmm. it burned him.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even want to be in law enforcement anymore. They don't want to protect and serve because they can't protect and serve.
Especially when you have administration specifically outside of the police department who refuse to allow cops to do their jobs, protect and serve.
It's unbelievable. If you have a question for Joey about protecting yourself in an active shooter situation, when you're at work, when you're at play, when you're out with the kids, please, 884-9910. The phone lines are open to you. Well, actually, they're open to you 10 to noon every weekday. Or you can also shoot me an email at monica@991fmtalk.com. We've got a quick Fox News break because we are the home of Fox News, since you keep throwing out that I missed Hannity and Carlson last night when they had great interviews. But I'll get over that. It's KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910, but I have a feeling a lot of people are just listening right now because you've got a lot of great information, Joey. Joey Walker, my guest today, owner of DisarmAndDisable.com, talking to the professional about how you protect yourself in public. Gotten a couple of emails at Monica@991fmtalk.com, so let's get into these. One of them just... Yeah, it is heartbreaking because the big thing is, oh, well, police shot this person within 30 seconds and, you know, he was dead. El Paso police and border agents didn't arrive for 6 minutes after the first shot from this gentleman in El Paso. I should not. Okay, this
person.
Psycho. Yeah, exactly. That's actually a short amount of time.
The response time for every agency is contingent upon where the officer is located, the calls that come in terms of high priority. Obviously, this is a high priority, and everyone that's got a gun as a police officer and a police car, bicycle, motorcycle, truck, I don't care how you get there, you're going to go there. So every police officer is going to respond to that call. And the first one on scene, that's when the clock stops ticking in terms of the response time. However, whether it's 1 minute, whether it's 30 seconds, whether it's 6 minutes, that's still a long time to be pulling a trigger for a bad guy.
And that doesn't even have to be an automatic weapon. That can just be a regular firearm.
Semi-automatic, exactly.
Yeah. Another comment, you were just pointing out how stupid teachers really are.
It's not the teachers, because there are a lot of great teachers that I've seen. I had an opportunity to be a substitute teacher in this school district, and I met some great teachers, counselors, administrators, and I met some that are questionable, but then again, those are the people who probably are burned out who need to retire anyway. Mm-hmm. But what I specifically saw was the hesitancy and arrogance of administration, school district administration, not teachers, that didn't want to do anything. It's kind of the old whistling past the graveyard concept. Mm-hmm. If I whistle loud enough, nothing's going to come out and hurt me. If I close my eyes, put my fingers in my ears and la, 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 all the way down the street, nothing's going to hurt me. So it's the same type of concept. And they think, again, the panacea, there's no one single thing that will fix all of this. It's going to be a multi-pronged approach of using different things to address these issues, whether you want to deal with mental health in a different way, whether you want to deal with background checks in a different way. And another discussion I had on this was the background checks. It only shows if this individual has a record. So let's take this one shooter who had some history in school of being a guy who made a hit list of all the people he wanted to murder and a rape list of all the women he wanted to rape. So that was noted in high school, but did not translate over into this guy purchasing a weapon as an adult. Why? Because that's private information.
Yeah.
So you can't make that link. And until they fix that type of system, that stuff's going to slip through the cracks. So again, not the teachers. It's the administration and the people who are in charge of those types of programs that decide they don't want to do anything.
Okay, well, sorry, I have to take the moment now to promote our rally on the first day of school. Keep them home Actually, we want you to keep them at the Believe sign in downtown Reno. If you are tired of school districts not listening to you, whether it be for Common Core, whether it be for sex education, whether it be for your child's safety, the security actions that they take, the stupid things they do, like the one entrance in and out, lack of education, you know, Joey told his story about dealing with administration. Then remember, Monday, August 12th, there are a lot of teachers who are, there's a specific site on Facebook where teachers can join and talk about this. And a lot of them are just too scared to participate. If you band together, we have to do this together at the Believe sign, 8 a.m. Monday morning. It's just around the corner. Get prepared. We're going to have a lot of people there standing behind the teachers, standing behind the good people who want to make a difference. Sorry about that. I was
That's
taken
okay.
away from you.
And by the way, this was not the first presentation for the school district. I've done this presentation on three different occasions, all top high-ranking individuals. Every single one of them are still there.
And that's the problem, is people don't listen to the experts. They have ideological ideas of, we're going to create a safe space, and so this will protect the children. Again, once again, putting people in that bubble, there will, I hate to say this, Joey, but there will also be, there will always be evil in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, and the and it's just comical that the people with the coexist bumper stickers are the ones that scream the most about letting people have personal safety, letting people be safe in public.
But the first to fight you on how it goes on. So their coexist in my mind means I coexist with my kind, but if it's anything outside my thought process and they're not like me, we cannot coexist.
I mean, this is just unbelievable. And I know that you're going to have a hard time answering this question, but
okay.
I'm sure you've been asked it before. Where do we start?
Oh, my goodness. First, we have to start with our leaders and convincing them that, A, there is a problem, and B, it's a multifaceted approach. Here's just one part of it. Let's do this right now. For every day that you don't train teachers on what to do other than hide under their desk or hide in a closet in a school, that's one more day that that school is unsafe. Teach them all the possibilities that can happen and teach them what their options are for survival so that when it happens, they have options to draw from as opposed to, I've only got one thing, that's hide. Once we teach these schools, and I'm not talking about teaching children how to defend against an active shooter, teach the adults, because the majority of times in school shootings, the school shooters are the students themselves, either past or present students, and they'll go all the way from elementary through college. Then once we get the people in educational facilities to understand there is a problem and here's what we're going to do to deal with it, then let's reach out to the workplace safe issues, because we've got people in the workplaces that decide that they can't handle rejection, they can't handle the fact that they were fired or demoted, and they come back with a gun, or they come in the business meeting knowing that they're going to be disciplined and potentially fired and shoot up the place. So teaching people that when you have an HR facility or your HR person that comes in to administer discipline, realize that, oh, by the way, this employee brought their backpack in. I'm sorry. I need to look through your backpack. And you know what? I'm not really sure that I'm comfortable with you, so I'm going to look, maybe have this guy check this other guy, employee, to see that you're not carrying an illegal weapon. And I don't mean just around the waistband, but people can carry in
holster,
their crotch.
Ankles,
they can carry
yeah.
an ankle holster. They can carry a shoulder holster. Make sure that person, and always have a person in your facility who is legally armed and knowledgeable and competent with a firearm. Because if you say, okay, no guns in the facility, you've just disarmed that facility. Now this employee who knows that, you know what, I left it in my car, so I'm going to go out to my car, get my gun, and come back in and shoot you. How long does it take? If you stopped right now and got the timer going right now, tick-tock, tick-tock, person pulls a gun, starts shooting, how long before the cops get there? Could be 30 seconds, could be 5 seconds, could be 5 minutes.
Is there something to say when you call 911 that just immediately triggers? Because
shots
I know
fired.
When I call 911, they go through this whole BS. Do you want this? So just immediately say shots fired.
Shots fired, location.
Okay.
That way they know the call will go out. They'll hit the alert tones, beep, beep, beep. Reno to all units, shots fired, and give your location. Give that. They'll specifically say 1755, blah, 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 blah. And then the cops are rolling to that address. Then they'll get supplemental information as the officers are rolling in. As they're coming to the call, additional information is given to the officers. Suspect is this. Suspect has this type of weapon. So they want to ask those questions because they want to protect the officers as well.
Right.
And the officers need to know, do I need to get out of my car with a shotgun or my handgun work, or do I need to bring my AR?
When you have officers rolling up on a site, you're a good guy. You are legally allowed to carry, or Nevada is an open carry. If you are drawn and looking around, what should you do when officers arrive?
First of all, let's say that even me, that a lot of the officers on the police department, specifically Reno, my alma mater, they don't know me. A lot of the new guys don't know me. And the older guys, they might remember me if they are still working there, but maybe they've retired. So let's just say that they don't know me. I need to know that when I draw my weapon and fire, that I've got a threat directly in front of me. And that as soon as I deal with the threat, I'm going to holster my weapon and put myself in a situation that I'm staying safe and responding officers, because I got to remember that they're coming. Someone's called.
Yeah.
They're coming. And we don't want to end up in a situation like they had in Chicago where security officer was shot and killed by responding police officers.
Right. You are always such a joy to have come in.
Thank you. I know it's tough material, but thank you.
What's the one thing that you want people to take away from today?
You've got to play the what-if game. You've got to realize that when you're in public, one of my daughters lives in Texas, we play this what-if game whenever I'm with her. We'll go to the mall and say, you know that guy, see that guy in the red hat over there? Let's pretend that that guy just got shot. And the guy behind him in the green shorts, he's the shooter. He's 50 yards from us. What do you do? I did the same thing. My wife and I were at the beach at Lake Tahoe just this last week. And I said, see that place down there with the red roof? Let's say we've got a shooter there. What do you do? What am I going to do? As soon as we hear the shots fired, you're going to call 911 when we get to a safe location, because I'm going to get you immediately out of here. And you're going to call and tell them shots fired, give the location. And your husband, who's wearing this green shirt and these gray pants, he's going to be running down and trying to approach the person because he's retired law enforcement. Don't shoot him. And unfortunately, if she is unavailable to make that phone call, I've got to do some serious multitasking. Because I got to let the cops know that I'm coming to rescue these people at the same time.
You're asking a lot of people, especially to be paying attention.
Yeah. And here's the deal. When you hear something that's out of context, look, what is that going on? What if that was a shot being fired? What should I do?
Yeah. Actually, I was wrapping up with you, but we have a quick call from Kevin. Kevin, do you have a question for Joey?
Oh, yes, I do. It's a great show. Learning a lot. A quick thing, I know some guys, like you mentioned Steak and Shake, where it's a gun-free store. They just go in anyhow with their weapon, and as long as, you know, it's concealed, nobody even knows they have it. So, I mean,
yeah, don't ask, don't tell.
What's the procedure on that?
In terms of going into a location that says, we don't want you to bring your guns in?
Yeah, but
again,
I mean,
don't ask, don't tell.
You just go anyhow.
You wear clothing. I look at it like this. If they're not going to arrest you for having the weapon on your person, and they are not screening you with a walk-through metal detector or a wand, I'm going with my gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a thought there. I always question that. Hey, great show. Sure enjoy it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate it.
All right. He's got a book in the works. Be ready for this. Disarm and Disable the Active Shooter Defense Guide, but you can already go to Amazon and get Shots Fired, Surviving an Active Shooter Assailant. And this is also what you need to do. Learn self-defense. Learn martial arts. Learn how to defend and protect yourself. If you are not comfortable with firearms, that's okay. But don't take away somebody else's right to legally carry. Find out what you need to know at disarmanddisable.com. Joey Walker, my guest, you know that door is always open for you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, thanks for you being here today, and we will be right back after this. Also, did I mention being heard on 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley? Oh, you know it. We're keeping everybody safe in Northern Nevada on 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Hope you learned something today from Joey Walker, my guest, and just feel a little bit more comfortable in this world, because remember, it's a beautiful world and we have too much fun to just stay and hide at home. Want to go over just a couple of things with you. Heads up, tomorrow, if you are in the Carson City area, even if you're not, if you enjoy the Carson Range, there is a ranged task force meeting, and it is going to be at 1:15 in the afternoon at the Community Center. Okay, the Community Center there in Carson City. Again, the Range Task Force meeting is tomorrow at 1:15, and they're going to be going over a lot of things. A lot of people care about that range, not just in Carson City, but in people in South Reno, and it's a fun range to go to. So please, if you would like to speak up about what's going on, 1:15 at the Community Center tomorrow. Quick little recap. Actually, I can go into that a little bit more tomorrow. Let's go ahead and go to the phones because we've got a caller at 884-9910. Ryan, what would you like to talk about?
First, Monica, there's a meeting today, I think at 3:30 p.m. down at the Reno City Council Chambers, Chamber 1. They're going to talk about, the main focus they're going to talk about is how they're going to deal with the affluent in Swan Lake, or what I call a backroom scamming. I mean, I watched that meeting last night, all five and a half hours of it. And to me, this is just my opinion, but I want to impress this. To me, it seemed like the only person that's doing their job and does not have their hands in any way, shape, or form in special interest pockets is Councilwoman Jenny Breckris.
Actually, Ryan, that was just what I was going to go into when I took your call. So thank you for calling. And I'm going to just give people the heads up in case they missed it of what went on. And thank you, Ryan, for being at that meeting and spending that time there. Yes, it was an overflow crowd last night, in case you missed it. They were voting on the Lemon Valley moratorium that was proposed by Councilmember Breckis, and it was voted down 6-1. 6-1 it was voted down. So they have to do all of these things now to try and figure out the $55 million to expand the sewage treatment plant out there. And just as a little recap, there were 27 speakers signed up for the opening public comment. There were 12 speakers in favor of the moratorium, and there were 8 opposed to it. And people made the following points. Reno isn't following its own ordinances regarding retention basins. The effluent needs to be treated to an A-plus level so as not to be a hazard to people and animals and just, you know, everything out there. Reno should not appeal the verdict favoring the neighbors. They have decided to, you know, go forward with that, which... Gotta tell you, I don't know what they're doing, but they're not winning themselves any points, all right? Residents should not count on the city to solve problems rather than create them. Any plan needs to protect the bird habitat in Swan Lake as well. The Honey Lake, a.k.a. Fish Springs water, is contaminated as well with a banned insecticide. Why? Because of illegal pot farms in the area. There needs to be a plan to remove any water that is pumped into the basin. Remember, these are closed basins. And something that really this moratorium would have helped with, which, by the way, they have used moratoriums on growth in the past, on development. But don't gamble with resident safety by building a reservoir above Silver Nettles. We've seen bad things happen. And our council people aren't listening to the professionals. They're not listening to the people who deal with this on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's just incredible what this city is doing. what the government, I have to stop saying government officials, because they are not officials. They are not above you. They work for you. They are elected representatives. Let's get rid of the word officials. They are elected representatives on every single level. We'll go more over that meeting a little bit tomorrow and get you prepared, because it's not going to stop with the North Valleys. Until we see something tremendous happen, you know, we keep having all of these mudslides and, you know, flooding issues in the South as well. And we just keep letting it happen, keep letting it go on, because we haven't gotten through to our elected representatives. I hope you join me tomorrow. It's been a great day. Have an awesome one as well.